your second major marathon.
Yeah, I know, crazy.
How did you find it?
Really tough. I'm not a fangirl. I've never been a fangirl.
No, I'm sorry. Harry Styles, like, running the same race as you is pretty sick. Talk to me about this massive challenge that you just announced.
So I'm running from London to Bournemouth to say happy birthday to my granddad.
I never know what to do with my hands at gigs. Do you know what I mean?
Wave them in the air.
Welcome back to Emotional Intelligence. I've got a very exciting guest this week. I'm going to start off with a disclaimer. So you probably saw my Instagram stories. We're supposed to have Gabriel on, but Gabriel did something which not many guests have ever done, if any, for a fact. He cancelled twice in 1 week. So obviously he got back. He actually had a much more unlucky journey home from Berlin than us. His flight got cancelled by like 4 hours, and then his bag didn't arrive back in Manchester until the day after. So I was like, right, fair enough, we can delay it, we'll do it Thursday. And then he got ill, like everyone coming back from Berlin apart from you. Welcome, Izzy.
Hi. Yeah, sorry guys, you got me instead. I actually think
you're a far better guest than Gabriel, I can't lie.
I feel so sorry for Gabriel. I feel so sorry for everyone, actually, who had travel issues coming back from Berlin. So many people had to stay an extra night I think most people's flight was completely cancelled and had to stay, whereas we were literally like 45 minutes late.
Does that not cost like the airline millions? Because they have to compensate the hotel.
Yeah, they'll have to pay for the hotel. And then give people a free new flight as well.
Yeah. So we did the thing that I think most people come back from Berlin did. We were like, right, the last thing you want to do is waking up early the next day and traveling on like sore legs. You want to kind of like sort of give the day a little bit of time. So we flew at 9 p.m. at night back to Stansted.
Yeah.
And I think Gabriel was on like a 6 o'clock flight or something.
And we came down to board our flight and just saw him
poor
sat
bloke
in the
still
corner
sat
waiting
there.
For his. Anyway, you've got me today, guys.
Yes, I'm very excited to have Izzy on because obviously you just done Berlin Marathon. Yeah. I was there supporting you. So proud. Your second major marathon.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
How did you find it?
Really tough. So I went into London feeling...
Sorry, I need to probably just say, Izzy's my fiancé, by the way. I haven't actually said that, for those who don't know.
I think most people will probably
know. No, I don't know. You never know. Some might be clicking on just for a Berlin Marathon update.
Yeah,
and then,
true.
Go on. Sorry,
yeah,
you were saying.
Yeah, true. I went into London feeling nowhere near as confident as I was going to Berlin. And I actually performed worse in Berlin. And in London, I had IT band issues and I was doing a lot of walking and crying. And for Berlin, I upped my strength training. I was feeling really confident. I obviously had like the pre-race day nerves the day or two before. I was so nervous. Mm. I was just trying not to throw up all day, wasn't I?
Yeah.
And I literally had no personality. I was just like...
But that's
really
everyone's
out.
Like that before a marathon, because you actually just forget the emotion dump that it is, because you kind of go into it thinking it'll be this fun weekend away, which it is, obviously, but then you still have to like exist as a human being the day before it, and you've got that apprehension ahead.
Yeah. And I think I kind of was just like putting it to the back of my mind that I was running a marathon because I had bigger fish to fry, i.e. my big challenge next week.
We'll
that's been the main thing that's been on my mind about what I'm doing. And Berlin was kind of just like in the background. But then when it actually came around and I was like, oh, I'm running a marathon, that's when all the nerves just hit me. And yeah, my goal was 4:15. I did a 4:56 and my previous marathon was 4:55. So let's have a look. I've actually got the breakdown.
You found the London Marathon breakdown.
So my London Marathon finish was 4:55:12.
Okay.
And my Berlin was 4:56:44.
So about a minute and a half.
Yeah. So
I actually don't think that's that bad considering. Because
I mean, it's not bad at all. I ran a marathon for starters.
Okay, that's not what I'm saying.
No, I know. But like, I think I'm so incredibly proud of myself for getting across that finish line. And I just want to be like really firm with the point that although I'm saying I didn't get my goal at all, like I was so far from it, and then I didn't even get my PB, which I remember saying to the vlog just before leaving you, oh, let's go for my goal. But if not, I'm definitely getting the PB. Like, that's not even a question.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I was so confident that was not even a question. But I think I just underestimated the heat 27 degrees running a marathon feels like 30.
Well, I was literally just sweating, yeah, watching you, and I was like, I'm not even running.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And you went back to, like, you performed worse than London. I actually don't think you did. From watching you, I saw you four times. Supposed to be seeing you five times. I missed you at 8K, which I'm so annoyed about, because I got there an hour and a half before you were supposed to set off. You managed to get off a little bit early, but I got there an hour and a half before you were supposed to set off. And watched everyone come through. I saw Sebastian Sauer. I saw all of the sub elites. I then saw people like Johnny Davies, like all of the guys like going for fast times. And then I was like, on my tracking, I was like, right, Izzy's coming. Looked out. And I was like, where is she?
I was actually messaging you like, where were you? Like, where were you? I've gone way past.
You wouldn't obviously notice this because you're running, but for those who spectated, just any marathon for a fact, when you're viewing it, you'll be able to clearly see the waves. So your wave, let's say,
and then it'll go a bit quiet.
And then it'll go really barren, and you'll just have a few like stragglers essentially from that wave. And it got to the stragglers. I was like, there's no way Izzy's like going as slow as this, because I could see your split times. You'd done 5:56 in the first 5K.
Yeah.
And then I was like, right, so something's wrong here. Then I look on Find Mine, you've gone round the corner. So I'd literally missed you, and I was actually like so angry.
Yeah, top tip for people running and supporting marathons is make sure you communicate what side of the road you're going to be supporting and running on, because Cal was on the left, but I was always
keeping to the right. But I did send a photo, didn't I?
I wasn't looking at photos, I was running a marathon. Cal was sending me all these voice notes, and it was just coming through like, Cal sent me voice note after voice note. But they weren't playing, I think, because my internet was just so fucked. And then it was really stressing me out because I was getting these voice notes through, but I couldn't play them. So I actually just ended up turning my phone on Do Not Disturb because I was getting so annoyed that my headphones wasn't playing through any of my voice notes or messages. And then afterwards, loads of my friends and Cal was like, oh, like, did you hear my voice note or did you see all my messages? And I looked, and like, so many of my friends had sent me like, 5K in, well done, 10K, you're smashing it, like, only this much to go. And like, it was really nice. So I wish I'd kept it off Do Not Disturb and seen those, but the internet was so bad that I don't think they would have played through anyway.
Yeah, well, after I missed you at 8K, I then got on a bike. By the way, this is like my first experience supporting a marathon on my own. It was so easy to get around. I literally just hopped on the line bike and stayed inside of the course, and then I could literally dart about everywhere. So I saw you at 13K, 20K, 32K and 40K. Yeah. So I feel like I spread it out quite nicely.
Yeah, I know. It was great.
But the point I was initially trying to get onto is, you said you performed badly. Obviously, I was with you the entire...
Did I say badly?
No, like compared to London.
Oh,
compared to London. Obviously, I was with you the entire way through London. You had your IT band issue and stuff. And it was a tough day. Like, it was a tough day for so many people. Every time I saw you in Berlin, like, you looked strong and you looked happy. I would actually say your Berlin performance on the whole was better than London.
Yeah, I would say it was better, and I was stronger, and I wasn't getting like the aches and pains that I was getting from London, but I was just being realistic with myself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really happy with how I did. Like, don't get me wrong, there was 5 minutes of disappointment when I finished because I didn't reach the goals I'd set myself out for and thought
that's
I was
capable. That's just human nature.
Of. But I think that's pretty fine. But then you just have to like... slap yourself in the face a little
for
bit and
sure.
Be like, you just ran a marathon in this temperature heat, you're not a pro athlete, like, it's not that deep.
No, it's
like,
not
like I crossed the finish line. I'm so happy with it. Like,
I think
I'm
that's
over
so...
the moon that I did it, and I did it by myself, and I was really strategic with it. Like, I had gone in to get my 4:15 that I had originally wanted. It was a 6 pace consistently.
6 minute kilometer.
6 minute kilometer pace consistently. And
some people use miles weirdly.
And I kind of, when I was getting towards 10K, realized that it was too hot to maintain that. So I started dropping it. And then at the halfway point, I had to drop it a little bit more. And basically what I was doing was I was running to every water station and then walking through the water station to pick up water, fill it into my, I had like a sippy bottle thing.
Hydration
so
vest, yeah.
Pouring it into that and pouring it over myself, walking. And then as soon as I was done with the water station, I was running again. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be just a common tactic. Like, loads of people said that before. Everyone seemed to be doing that. It was so busy in the water stations because of how hot it was. It kind of wasn't even possible to run through them anyway. And there was plastic cups just all underfoot. It was like kind of maze to dart around them anyway. So that was my original tactic. And I did do that up until around about halfway. And I was like, right, you're allowed to walk at the next water station. That's another 5K, come on. And then it got to about 20, I think it was about halfway, but I remember 27 was when I really hit that wall and was really struggling. And then at that stage, it was like, just get through and walk when you need to. So I was taking loads of walking breaks.
I remember on the tracker, I was like following, because I obviously knew at the point, like when you hit the halfway mark and I could see the splits, that you weren't going to get what you wanted to get. So I was like, I know Izzy will be disappointed by this, but as long as I see her and she's in good stead, then that's great. On the tracker, you stopped at 25K for ages. And I was like really worried that you'd like just given up. And I would literally like, I can't
so
do anything.
So many people were like,
I was 7K from you.
Projectile vomiting and
I know. It was a CODMAP.
People were stopping and having massages.
What?
There was literal bed things at sections with people massaging people's legs and stuff. So I guess it's for people that were cramping up, and because it was so hot, people were sweating a lot. So there was a lot of people cramping up, a lot of people like squatting up against poles and all.
Did you
sorts.
Get any cramp?
I was getting cramp here, but not the legs.
Yeah.
Like stitches kind of cramps. Is that the same thing?
Well, not. I guess it's come from cramps? The same thing because it's
stitches.
Dehydration.
Yeah, but I was getting it here. But not,
but it's
my,
not
like my legs were fine.
Yeah, like Jonty, his legs were like shaking and stuff.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, bless him. But right, so when I saw you at 32K though, I was like, right, I really hope that she's like, because I was fully prepared for you to be in a London state when I saw you at 32K. And when I saw that you weren't, I was like so proud because you'd really like shown that you'd evolved from where you were at in London. Like obviously London, you had an injury, but I feel like your just mental strength in that moment was like so evident how much you'd really like just been like, right, I've got this. I know it's not going to be that fast, but I can do it.
Yeah.
And I trust my body and I know my strength.
Yeah. And I just kept telling myself that I've got this. And there was a moment where I was like, maybe there is a chance I could PB. And I thought if I really pick it up and I felt like I had it in me, then I could make up that little bit of time. And in my head, I was going, you can PB, you can. And I was just repeating like PB, PB, like in my head. And it literally got me speeding up. I think, in my head, it was like a minute. It probably was literally like 5 seconds. And I was like, whoa. And I like sped along for a bit, like saw my pace like really pick up. And then my body just suddenly was like, no. And I was like,
You always feel like you're going so much faster in those moments.
Yeah, I was like, I tried. I thought I had it in me, but then I had to like, just stop.
But you got it done. I have to say, like, I want to discuss more about like the race itself and the whole idea of marathons and stuff after we speak about your challenge. But when I went to the Brandenburg Gate to try and see you for the final time before finishing, for those who don't know, Brandenburg Gate, really famous monument in Germany. In Berlin, and after that you go through the gate, you think you're there, you think you're finished, but you still got about 500 meters left, and then you go onto the blue carpet and all of that sort of stuff. I was watching it and I was just kind of like had a little moment just seeing everyone look at the gate as they're running through it, and some people wave their arms in the air, some people are clearly just like hands on
face. I feel like I'm gonna cry now.
No,
I'm talking
it
about
it. Like genuinely the most special thing I've seen, and like obviously the Mall in London Marathon is incredible, but the only time I've experienced that is running it. And I was so overcome with emotion doing it with you. But to be a spectator in one of those final stretches is such a special thing. It's always like, what's the, in Love Actually, when they say about, you know, airport terminals being the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
I genuinely think marathon finishing lines are the happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
Because everyone there has gone through, let's say, some people, 5 months of training. Some people have gone from zero to taking themselves through 42.2K. Some people have literally had the worst possible trauma in their life and used the marathon as a reason to get over that trauma. Some people have just done it to make healthier choices in their life. Some people have just done it because they want to enjoy themselves. Everyone has a unique perspective and a unique experience as to why they're doing that race. And I feel like to have like a physical moment in the race where you go through this big famous monument to essentially go through the finish line, it was just so cool to watch.
Honestly, I can't describe how I felt when I saw it.
Yeah.
I started hyperventilating, like, because I was so emotional. Like, I was like crying. And I filmed like me like seeing it, and I literally am like crying. I'm like, I can't explain. Like, it's literally the best feeling in the world when I saw that. And I suddenly had like a new lease of life, and I was like geeing up the crowds, and then everyone loved
it.
So and
cool.
Everyone was then like, Isabella! Like, I had Isabella, not Izzy on my thing. So everyone was like screaming my name and I was like jeering everyone. I felt like a celebrity. It was so funny. And like, yeah, the amount of adrenaline then going through me to then get me across that finish line. But then when I did cross that line, you could see I honestly had nothing left. Mm. In London, you really like gassed me up and I like had my sprint finish. Infamously.
Oh, it's so funny. Go back and watch it if
clip
you can.
Ever.
It's like her arms are like this. It's so good.
It's awful. But yeah, with this one, I kind of just ran across and then like, I literally just went like that. And it was the smallest little exhale of like, it's done, rather than like, I just had no energy in me. But I was just so happy that it was done. But yeah, temperatures are hotting up. Like for both my marathons this year.
Yeah, you've been unlucky.
I've been unlucky. It's been really hot. But I think that's the way things are going, unfortunately. And I think in some countries where they're used to the hot weather, they have start times earlier on.
Yeah, like Hawaii's got like a 3 a.m. start.
Yeah, and I think that's the way the other world marathons are going to have to go. Also, the slower runners and the ones that find it harder start later as well. So they start when it's warmer and hotter, and then you have to run that distance. And running a marathon in what feels like 30 degree heat, it was 27, is crazy. Mm. And it's global warming. Like,
of course.
Temperatures are rising. And I think it's like, it affects all of us in different ways. And I think like things like that give people a reality check that maybe don't think about it.
Do you think what do you think the solution is then? Like move marathons to the winter period?
And have earlier start times.
I don't think you can though, because
why can't you have earlier start times?
I mean, you can start it but move it for an hour, but what's that going to do?
Well, the temperatures are going to be cool.
You would have then finished. You would have had your final 10K in the hottest part of the day. You had the middle part of your race in the hottest part of the day. Do you know what I mean? There's literally just like, there's not really a huge amount of difference at that point.
I think marathon times need to start earlier.
Okay, yeah, but
not by an hour.
But I think if you say you're letting the elites go off at 6 a.m. and you guys are starting at 8. Okay. I still don't know if that's actually going
to make... My actual start time is meant to be 10:40.
Yeah, no, that's ridiculous. But what I'm saying is an hour going to make a huge difference?
I mean, I'm not saying by an hour. Like,
what time would you start
you
a marathon?
Spoke about the Honolulu, whatever one.
Yeah.
That started
at what time? In pitch black, though. I don't know if that's much of a vibe.
I don't know. I think I'd rather start in pitch black than be running through 27 degree heat, if I'm honest.
All right. Fair enough. I'll be intrigued. I think the best course of action is changing the season of the races, because at the moment we've kind of got spring and autumn as the two main marathon seasons.
Yeah, but there's like odd days where it's still really hot in different seasons. Yeah. Anyway, like New York last year was really bloody hot for everyone, and that's early November.
Yeah, true.
So
yeah, that was mental actually, because I was there. It was really warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was in jeans and a jumper, but still, like, if you're running, it's still hot.
What temperature was it in New York?
It actually wasn't that hot, but I think it was hard for the runners.
It just surprised people because they were expecting.
It was like
really
18,
cold.
I think, which for the start of November is mental.
Yeah, that is hot for November.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but okay, right. You cross the finish line. I want to come back to a few other bits because I've got a couple questions for you with Berlin. But you cross the finish line and you then realize that you have a massive challenge ahead of you. Talk to me about this massive challenge that you just announced.
Yeah, so I'm running from London to Bournemouth to say happy birthday to my granddad. And I'm so emotional about it. So I need to just, I announced it last night. It's been something that's like been in the pipeline for me for a really long time. And I've basically just been negotiating with myself of making it work. And when is it going to happen? When am I going to commit to it? And this year is just the perfect year because he's turning 85. But he's just recently been put in kind of the dementia wing of the care home. So he's moved upstairs into like the more specialized area. Mm-hmm. And his birthday is on the 5th of October, which is next Sunday, and mine's the 4th of October. And he has dementia. He was a running coach for my mum and auntie growing up.
Yeah, because your mum and auntie were like sprint track athletes, weren't they?
Both incredible. They were insane. And granddad would coach and grandma would do all the logistics of it. But running was always such a big thing in their little family unit.
Mm.
And I mean, I only have found running really recently, but I ran London Marathon for Alzheimer's Society. I also ran my first ever 10K race for Alzheimer's Society.
I remember that back at Bournemouth, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was my first ever race, that 10K. And so I've always ran for Alzheimer's Society. And yeah, I just thought, if not now, then when am I going to do it? And I just think, yeah, it's a special age, 85. And so the care home are going to organise it all with me for him to come down and be on a bench that he always used to sit at with my grandma. He used to have a cup of tea there in the mornings because he used to literally live kind of on the cliff top down to the seafront. Yeah. So it was his like favourite spot, him and my grandma's favourite spot. So basically, yeah, I'm going to be running across 5 days. It's going to be around 170 kilometres-ish, depending on what routes I take and if I get lost and what happens.
I'm sure there'll be a load of that because I'm unfortunately in charge of the crewing, so I will definitely get us lost.
So yeah, that's probably going to be a bit of that. I've been so unorganized with it, if I'm honest.
I don't think you've been unorganized. I think you've just been trusting of the process.
Yeah, so
that's the best way to look at it.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, that starts next
Wednesday. Less than a week.
Wednesday the 1st, I will set off from London Waterloo, and the first day is the biggest day. And that is from London Waterloo to Guildford.
Yep.
Then we do,
which is my hometown, by the
yeah,
way.
So yeah. So you see your mum and your sister, yep. Hopefully.
Very nice. That's a hell of a slog for the first day.
The first day is a big one.
That's a 30-minute train journey usually, and you're running it.
Yeah. I think it's about 50 kilometres.
It's longer than the marathon.
Yeah, I'm running over a marathon the first day.
You're running an ultra marathon then.
But hopefully then onwards, it will be under marathon distance.
Okay, right. So what's the kind of play then? So you run over a marathon on the first day, then what are the breakdowns for the remainder of the trip? Obviously, we've got to take these with a pinch of salt because we're going to make errors, aren't we?
So the first day, London to Guildford, between 45 and 50 kilometres. Yep. The second day, Guildford to Alton, between 30 to 35 kilometres.
It's kind of like on the A31, that sort of area.
North Downs Way, Pilgrim's Way to Farnham, and it's along like quarter roads.
That's like a bit of a trail though, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm not running on like main roads.
There's like, you obviously like there's roads that go alongside the main road. So you'll probably have to be on some of those at some point.
Yeah, because the first day is all along kind of like the Thames path.
Yeah.
The second day is Guildford to Alton. The third day is Alton to Winchester. So that's on like St. Swithin's Way. Finishing by like Winchester Cathedral.
That's cool.
And then the fourth day is Winchester to Sway. And I'll enter the New Forest National Park, which will be nice. So that's finishing in Sway. And then the final day, I forgot to say the distances, sorry. So the third day, Alton to Winchester, that's 25 to 30K.
What's the second day, sorry?
Going down. So first day was 45 to 50. Second day, 30 to 35.
Yeah.
The third day, Alton to Winchester, 25 to 30 kilometres.
Yeah.
And then the fourth day, Winchester to Sway, 35 to 45 kilometres. And then the final day is Sway to Boscombe Pier, which is 20 to 30 kilometres.
Okay.
And my brother will be running the full final day with me. That's which
so
will
nice.
Be really nice. He's been running since before me.
Yeah, he
so
has.
So he'll do that final bit with me. My mum is going to do a fast walk across the finish line with me because mum does amazing fast walking now and she
mum's one of them speed walkers.
She is amazing. She keeps beating her like 5K PB.
Do you know what that is as a fast walker?
I think she told me on the phone. I can't remember.
Because I remember her saying it or something. It was like 30.
So I messaged her and we'll get.
It was like 35 minutes or something crazy.
It was so good. I'll message her. And so hopefully.
But isn't that mental doing a 5K, walking a 5K in 35 minutes?
Let's ask her.
Yeah. But that's so exciting, isn't it? It's such a great idea. To raise money for such a brilliant cause. And also as well, like, it's so lovely that the bench that you're going to is the one that your granddad and grandma always used to sit at and have a cup of tea like every weekend. It was so nice.
I'm so excited to spread. Mum visited them recently and she was like, am I not telling them? Like, can I say something? And I was like, you cannot tell them because I know for one, grandma will be so stressed and worried the whole time about it. Whenever she knows I'm running marathons, she's always like, look after your body, like do blah, 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 blah. And then after Berlin, she was like, you must rest. Like, she sent me a message like, you must rest now. Like, look after that body. Like, don't do anything, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, little does she know, I'm literally about to run 170 kilometres to see her and granddad. So.
I think the one thing that I'm apprehensive about, and this is just me being realistic, is your body the day after doing these long runs. And obviously for me, I'm not a qualified physio here, but there is a chance you wake up and go, this hurts.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a chance. I think
it will happen.
That's going to happen. The day after running Berlin Marathon.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, we did have quite a few drinks that evening. So I did wake up feeling kind of awful for a mix
of
reasons.
Yeah, that was the worst thing. It was like, it was a mix of hangover and body ache.
Yeah. But yeah, my body, I was hobbling around and I remember turning to you and being like, the reality has really hit that I'm going to have to wake up morning after morning and just run again, and not just run a 5K, run minimum about 25K,
yeah,
which is the last day actually. So
if you're a physio and you're based in the areas between London and and Southbourne, let us know, because we'll probably need your help.
Yeah, I think
that'd be great.
Yeah.
Also as well, I am a bit apprehensive about my abilities to crew. I can't lie. My dad's lending me his car, and then I'm going to try and find a Brompton off someone as well, so I can fold it and put it in the back of the car.
Yeah, good idea.
And then me and Indy, who's filming you.
Yeah, I've got a videographer who will be filming the whole challenge, which is really exciting.
It's really cool. She went to school with us.
Went to Minor Cal Sixth Form, which is where we met 11 plus years ago.
Yeah, we've been together a long, long time.
And Indy went to that sixth form the year below us.
Yeah.
And I put a story up a while back, just before I'd announced the challenge, just saying I'm looking for a videographer. And I got a couple bites on email, all from men. Now, I don't have anything against men, but I wanted to have a woman do this with me, just because I'm a woman doing this incredible physical feat, and I wanted a woman by my side to document that with me. And yeah, I just really want to gas up and highlight women in the industry.
I think it's also, there's so many incredible, like, friends of mine as well who are amazing videographers in the fitness space, you know, men.
Yeah.
But you don't really see many female ones highlighted or, like, sort of working, you know, with big projects and stuff. So it's really cool to see.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted like a whole female team kind of working on it, both like the filming and the editing. So yeah, I'm really excited. Indy's coming along for the whole journey with us. So, and then we're going to make a YouTube video. We're just going to do one video.
Yeah, because you were going to do like daily ones, weren't you?
Yeah, I was going to put out daily videos and get an American editor to bash them out basically, and have them, maybe they'd be a little bit delayed, but they'd be consistent. But then I thought I'd rather just have like one big epic video of the whole journey rather than five, because I just think interest might get lost after someone's watched one or two. So
yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's the best way to do it. It's also as well, like, you got to think about this. You're doing this challenge, it's going to be incredibly taxing on your mind. Okay.
Mm.
The last thing you're going to want to do and think, have I got enough content today for the video?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, imagine you're just running for 20K and you speak to nobody.
I don't know if I'm ready for how emotional I'm going to be at the end of it.
Yeah.
Because when I run marathons, I've ran two, but I mean, still, when I run marathons,
two more than a lot of people,
I am so emotional. Like, I cry before I've even started. I cry when I start. I cry during. I cry after. I cry a lot. And this is on like a whole other scale and for a whole other reason and purpose. And I don't think I'm ready for how I'm going to feel when I finish and when I see granddad and having friends. Like, I've got friends supporting throughout and running sections with me. And if anyone wants to join as well, do I look at this camera?
No.
I've been accidentally looking at it.
Liz. Yeah, I mean, I always sometimes do it.
Okay,
it's fine.
But yeah, if anyone wants to join me on the journey as well, I'm so open for that. I've had a couple people message to say they want to like join and support and run bits with me. And I would love that. Like, I would welcome that with open arms.
I think
it'll be so fun to meet people, get people to run sections with me. So yeah, I'm going to be putting sort of brief route plans up on my stories, and then like the evening before each day I'll put like more specific details up as well, so people can get involved and support and cheer and run.
You know what's really cool is, because like there's not many women that, like, there are some women that have done amazing challenges, don't get me wrong, but like it is a space, the ultra space is something that does either go like the pro category is actually quite female heavy, because there's a lot of amazing
women are
female.
Incredible at long distance.
I think it's something to do with your higher pain threshold. I could be waffling here, but there's definitely women have a much higher pain threshold than men, I think. No, amazing. It's going to be such a sick trip. So very excited to join you on that.
Yeah, to think 2 years ago, I got my first pair of running trainers and hated running.
I think it's actually coming up to the anniversary of that.
Yeah.
We watched them videos back. It's so funny. For those you don't know, I think that series was the reason that I got my first ever like running brand deal. Because I started making, I think a lot of people wouldn't realize this, like Izzy's made content in the space for so long, like 6 years?
Yeah. Yes.
Since COVID.
2019. Yeah. I started January 2019.
Which is mental.
And now we're coming up to 2026.
Yeah.
So well over 6 years then. Do the maths.
Yeah, 7 years in January.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's how long COVID was.
That's mental.
Mental. But yeah, no, like you were obviously making content long before me. And then I was like documenting my like, I guess, fitness progression on TikTok. Wasn't really sharing too much of it on Instagram. But then I was like, oh, I want to start running a bit more again because I didn't actually love all the gym stuff. And then I said to you like, oh, do you want to run together? And you're like, absolutely no chance. So I thought, great, cool, series idea, get you to enjoy running.
No, but also I think I was struggling a lot with routine and like my mental health and things like that because I was doing content creation. It was lonely.
Yeah, because I was like, in the office every day.
Yeah, so I was just at home by myself all day every day and I like wasn't like getting out of bed early and like being productive and I was just like a bit miserable for a while. And that was another reason I think that you got me into it because you were saying you think it will be really good for me to have that sort of sense of like routine. And honestly, like running, it sounds so dramatic, but running has literally like changed my life.
Mm.
Like the way I was before running and the way I am now, we're just two completely different people. Yeah. Like the way I deal with things, my like sense of like self-worth, my self-confidence, like just everything. Like I just love running. Like it makes me happy and it's so hard. And don't get me wrong, there's moments where like I think I hate it, but like truly I love it because you like get across those, you like get over those moments and then it just feels so incredible after that.
It's the discipline, it's the difference between discipline and motivation, isn't it? And it's like with motivation, realistically, you're not going to feel like you can't be asked. So often I can't be asked, but that's the difference when you've got the discipline, you're like, right, I can't be asked, but I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've really helped with that because I feel like you've always been like super motivated with your running and like just getting out.
I'm just so competitive myself.
And so then me living with you and seeing you be like that for a while, I was like comparing myself to what you were doing. And I was like, oh, well, he's doing that and he's getting up and going. And it made me feel a bit shit because I'm like, whoa, look at him like doing all this stuff. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll.
Can I be honest here? I compare myself against others on other parts of my life. I don't ever compare myself to other people with running. I only compare myself to myself 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because I've been looking at this like up and coming Chicago marathon. And I was like, I really want to make sure that there's chalk and cheese between me and Paris and me in Chicago. And if there isn't, and I feel like I've got the same amount in me at the finish line, that's the wrong way of describing it. If I feel like in the race, I'm at the same level as I was for Paris, I will be disappointed with myself because I wouldn't have progressed on a race level, but I know that I've progressed on a kind of like understanding of the running world and understanding of my own body level, I guess. I explain that awfully, but what I'm saying is I only really compare myself to my previous 6 months ago. And I think that's the best way to look at it, especially with running.
Yeah.
Because we're not athletes. We're never going to be athletes. I'm never going to go to the Olympics. I do it because I enjoy it. I do it because it makes me feel good. And ultimately, if you're doing that, you want to kind of always be leveling it up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think the worst thing you can do, like anything in life, is compare yourself. And like, especially in running, like we're all so different. Like our fitness levels, our heart rates, our body, like every, like we're all so different. So like fast for one person is like slow for another person, so forth. Like it's all so personal.
Yeah.
And so if I say I'm enjoying a slow run and it's like a 6:50 and someone else is like, oh, don't call that slow because that's my fast. Like I think it's so important. Like everyone
context
and everyone is running at their own pace. Like you're slow, like you're easy is my like absolute threshold, right?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah,
like
of course it is.
It's all so individual and I'm like, I'm just happy like doing my own thing and getting my own times and not comparing myself to anyone else. And obviously there's going to be loads of people on social media that are so much faster than you, but that doesn't mean that you're rubbish.
Yeah, I see so
you're
many
just
people.
Like different, and it's okay. Like you can like support and praise those fast runners while also supporting and praising those slower runners, because it's all just like individual. And as long as they're happy doing what they're doing, then like, great.
The only thing that's shit about being different ability to someone else is that you can never, like, for example, Hugo, great mate of mine, but he is, his easy pace is so much quicker than my easy pace. If he was to go on an easy run with me, he's essentially walking. Yeah. And like, you can't then just go and do the activity together. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Whereas with me, you and I, because my easy pace isn't too far, I could do 6:15, 6:30s with you and be absolutely sweet.
Yeah.
And still enjoy it.
Yeah.
But like someone like Hugo, where he's so much faster, you maybe like miss that common ground with someone maybe. But it's interesting because obviously we talk about like comparison and people sort of saying that they're disappointed with certain things. I was really disappointed and upset with the amount of people I saw this weekend be annoyed about their race result in Berlin.
Mm.
It actually, like, I've seen a few people make videos about it, but the biggest thing for me that upsets me is when someone goes onto that form online to sign up to the race, they won't think about, right, they're typing their thing. They won't think it's sub three or bust. They'll be thinking, oh, this is another chance to do another marathon and push myself.
Yeah.
You're not thinking in that moment about time, okay? A very rare occasion you probably are, but in that initial sign up phase, you're like, this will be a cool experience. And it's all about that experience.
Yeah.
And then everyone on the course on Sunday had a fucking awful day.
Yeah.
Not a single person apart from Hugo.
Hugo had a great day, yeah. But then he was projectile vomiting off.
Relativity though, he had a bad day because he put himself in such a pain cave.
Yeah.
Like that's a separate...
But he smashed it. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And I think we've just normalized, as we all say, we've normalized the distance too much.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough respect for the distance. Like it is such a long way. And such a small amount of the population even run marathons or complete marathons. So the fact that you're even, the fact you've even like committed that amount of time to training, like that amount of weekends, that amount of social time, like that amount of saying no to plans, waking up early, like not going out with your friends, like all of that work for weeks, for months that you've done to get to that start line,
yeah,
is achievement enough.
Yeah.
And then the fact that you've ran it and you've got to the finish line and you've completed it, like, is that not enough? Because
no.
For me, that is like incredible, like insane. And like, I get that people can be disappointed if they haven't reached their goals, but like the amount of disappointment that you did see and the way that people verbalized it was like a bit much.
Yeah, it was. And it was also, the vibe it gave off to me was, hear me out here, people will be looking at the time that I got and think, why did I get that time? So for example, let's say some people on social media who've been very vocal, like I've decided now in this moment, like I want to get sub 3:15 in Chicago.
Yeah, well, I was public. I wanted to get 4:15, yeah, and I was way
off.
If
I don't get it though, I'm not going to be like disappointed. I genuinely believe, obviously if I get like really like close to the mark and just miss out, I'll probably then think back of things that I could have done differently in the race. But I won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
So the point I'm making is I think people sometimes perpetuate onto social media this disappointment because they're scared of what others will view their achievement as.
Got you.
Does that make sense?
They've been so vocal about getting a certain,
because you, let's
time,
say you,
yeah,
wanted to go for 4:15.
Yeah.
I know you didn't do this. You were genuinely disappointed, like in that small moment. I think because you've gone for 4:15 and you got 4:56, quickly, if I project into the world of social media that I'm absolutely devastated about my result, it's not the race I wanted, I'll be back, all this sort of bullshit, people go, oh yeah, he's disappointed. Like, there's obviously, it wasn't his day.
My mum has just messaged, so let's see.
Oh yeah.
Well, fast walking around 34 minutes.
Whoa.
As it's up a hill around here. So on the flat, I think 32 minutes. So she's
let me
speedy.
I'm going to work out the kilometer pace,
yeah,
on that, because that's actually crazy. What the hell?
Speedy walking.
One second. So she did a 5K.
34.
In 34 minutes.
She said around 34. I think she doesn't, I don't think she logs it on anything. I think she just looks at her watch when she starts and then looks at it when she finishes.
That's mental, you know. That's a 6:48 pace.
That's crazy.
For walking, that's wild. But your mum did used to be a runner, so maybe she's just got fast legs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is mad. But you know, people, fast walkers, I could be wrong here, they in the Olympics do sub 20.
Did you see Jenny Fit did a video with the fast walker?
No.
Because she gets loads of hate from men online being like, you're basically walking, like that's walking pace.
And
she, I don't know if it was on stories or if it was an actual reel or whatever, but she did something with a like professional like fast walker, and it was just, he was very fast.
Right.
I have nothing else to say. I don't remember it, but I have a glimmer of memory of that.
Yeah.
She did.
We were obviously talking about disappointment for Berlin. And one thing I did see after the race that like upset me a little bit were just all the people that DNF'd.
I felt so gutted for them.
It is gutting. It is gutting. Obviously, like I saw people struggle, but I was kind of in the sort of tunnel vision of trying to find you. And I wasn't really like, no disrespect to other people, I didn't really care about others at that point. I cared about you and just wanted to see you. But I saw a friend of mine at the runner shakeout who I hadn't seen for 10 years. He was like an old school friend, and him and his wife were there. And I look over and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you here? And he's like, yeah, I won't say the names. Him and his wife were running Berlin. I was like, oh, so sick. Anyway, he's not a runner at all. He's given it a crack, and he thought, this is my first ever marathon, I'm going to give it a go. He said to me, I messaged him the day after because I think I couldn't find him on the tracking or something. So I messaged just saying, like, how'd you get on, mate? Like all this sort of stuff. And he said, yeah, DNF'd. I got kicked off the course at 34K. And I was like,
34 as well.
That's gutting.
So close.
8K from home. And I understand, like, there has to be a cutoff. I get it. There has to be a cutoff realistically. But do we, with races now, should they implement a sort of minimum distance from home to be allowed to continue? So the video that I saw that really irked me were apparently people 400 meters from the finish getting kicked off.
I saw that one.
But I don't think it was
I don't think it was
400 meters from the finish, because I didn't recognize where they were, and 400 meters from the finish is after the Brandenburg Gate.
Because I get like for safety reasons and roads reopening and stuff, but I think if you're that close, you're not going to cause any harm to anyone by just
If they go to a kilometer and there's people just getting through the kilometer point that they're at.
How do they then cut that?
Where's the line?
Yeah,
because offside, like offside rule in football, 1 millimeter is still offside.
You're not speaking my language.
No, but 1 millimeter, you do know the offside rule. Don't give me that.
No, I know.
Okay. Don't fight. Don't play into that stereotype.
It's been explained to me many a time. I do understand it, but still.
The point I'm making though, 1 millimeter offside is still offside.
Yeah.
Even if you're 10 foot offside.
It's just so hard when people have worked really hard and then they're told like, sorry, cut off time, like,
devastating.
Can they just not just close the city for the whole day and let everyone cross
or hear me out, like, okay, I know these races are built off like thousands of stewards that do it for free anyway, so I'm in like so much respect to them anyway, they're giving up their time to make people's dreams essentially
they're all
come
so nice as well.
Yeah.
Like every water station, they're so friendly, so lovely, like always cheering, always smiling.
Yeah, but do you allocate a set of stewards who are essentially marathon DNF pack leaders? So hear me out here. You've got, let's say, 10 to 15 stewards, maybe more, depending on how many people registered the race is saying they're going to be 7 hours plus. The Berlin Marathon cutoff time was 6:40. So you realistically, like, the cutoff's quite harsh. But obviously, if you got to reopen the roads, fine. But when you get to a certain point, they're like, look, it's now closed. Everyone stands to the side. You wait for at least 10 to 15 runners to come to this point where they're about to be kicked off the course. You get a steward leader who's got high vis on, all of this stuff, a pace flag and everything. They take them onto the side of the course, onto the path, and they run next to the course. The roads can reopen as normal and they can take them for a different finish line and they still finish the race.
Yeah, I mean, that would be lovely.
How cool would that be?
That would be so cool. I understand logistically that would be difficult.
I think, but it would just make it easier to have some sort of fallout of the situation.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Like, you're kicking people off the course and then what?
Yeah.
Like, that's devastating.
I know it is.
But you do have to have a line. I get it. It's half of the race organisers.
I'm sure there's some races that have longer cutoff points and some that aren't. Because I remember a lot of people saying Paris is like not inclusive for slower runners.
Is it not?
I just remember seeing a lot of it online post Paris Marathon, like my algorithm, because of you running it and me seeing loads. A video did come up about how Paris Marathon is not inclusive for slower runners.
I don't know though, because I was like, after I finished, come out the pub pretty pissed and I saw people still running. And that must have been at least 4 hours after I finished. It's irrelevant, Izzy. Thanks for telling the world. I am a lightweight, but that's fine. At least that means I spend less. You wouldn't think it for someone of my size, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you reckon Harry Styles is a lightweight?
I don't know. I'm not a fangirl. I've never been a fangirl.
It's so funny, man.
Of like boy bands or anything for some reason. It's just never been my thing. So I'm just really not arsed.
Yeah, but you... No, I'm sorry. Harry Styles like running the same race as you is pretty sick. Not arsed, are you?
I'm just really not arsed. Like,
sorry, I should call him Stead.
Yeah, Stead. I just really... I guess it's cool.
I'm glad but, like, I didn't see him,
man. He runs marathons and...
He's a generational talent, that boy. I'm more of a fanboy of him than you are.
I think you are.
Yeah, I am. I've got nothing but respect for the bloke. I think his music's unreal.
I think it's pretty crazy that he ran it in a long sleeve top.
The issue I have with it, okay, is he did Tokyo Marathon in 3:24. I set out to beat him and I got 3:23. I beat him by a minute.
But I don't think...
I'm not going sub-3 in Chicago. If I go sub-3 in Chicago, someone clip this up and make some cold edit of it, because there is absolutely no chance of it happening.
You're going for the... What,
sub-3:15.
Sub-3:15.
Yeah.
Yeah, sub-3 would be pretty crazy then.
It's not possible. It's not possible at this moment in time. In the future, yes. But no, Harry Styles, for those who don't know, he ran 2:56, which is incredible in that heat. And he ran in a black long sleeve t-shirt.
So rogue. Why do you think he wore a long sleeve
t-shirt? I don't know. I think maybe his tattoos are too recognizable and he wanted to really go low key. But really? I'm sorry, mate. By the time one person sees you at a shakeout run... They know
it's so funny. It's game over, mate. Everywhere. Like, it's you went game on social over. Media and like every brand, every like running page, everyone was sharing about him. It was hilarious.
It's interesting though, because I was speaking to the founder of Sums Socks. You know Sums? So basically, Sums, amazing sock brand. They make running socks. Harry Styles wore a pair of Sums socks in Tokyo.
What do they look like?
I interviewed the guy at Jonty's thing at Run Limited. They just say Sums on the back of them. You'll recognise them if you see them. They're sick. And I think they're I've got some water. Thank you. My guest pouring me a drink. I think they're environmentally friendly. Oh. What the fuck is going on? Anyway, Harry Styles wore a pair of white and black Sums socks for Tokyo, and then Sums sold out instantly of those socks, and they couldn't make enough to like warrant the demand. It's crazy. But he wore those red Alpha Fly 3s, and he's worn Alpha Flies with both his marathons. Interesting.
Like, man.
Interesting. I think Pro 4s are better for...
I have no idea.
You've not worn the Alpha Flies, have you?
I've never worn a pair of Nike running trainers, actually. I've never ran in any before. Yeah. So
they're the only ones of them I've run in, though. Because I've not tried the new Vomeros. People say are good, though.
I don't really know that much about running trainers, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Harry Styles did that. It was so funny seeing like the outcry on socials, because some people who were against it thought that it was wrong that he did it in a fake name.
Why?
Because they say you're technically bib muling. So some people think, is this Stead, I can't remember his actual name, the surname that they used.
It was hard to pronounce the surname.
But the Stead name, was it someone else's bib that he used? Because that's illegal. You're not allowed
really
to do that.
It.
If you get caught using someone else's bib, you can get disqualified.
I don't think he would have done. I think he would.
Do you reckon he just spoke to Berlin? It's not that deep.
Yeah, and just said, can I go under this name? I'm literally Harry Styles. And they would have been like, yeah.
But it's kind of pointless though. Do you not think? Because everyone knows it's Harry Styles.
Yeah.
So you got a different bib name, mate.
And also, like, you had to have a passcode to view Steads anyway. Whoa. Like, you couldn't...
Oh, you couldn't?
No.
Oh, I was about to do it and look at
it. No, you had to have a password to view it anyway. So he could have just had it in his name and still it would have had a password. So you still can track him.
Yeah.
But I know someone who also had theirs on. You can choose if you want it to be public or not, if you want it to have a password, like when you're signing up to the marathon. So anyone could have like an incognito, like untrackable.
I love the idea of people tracking you because it gives you that extra fuel to like not disappoint.
I was just thinking, God, everyone's going to be feeling so stressed for me because I was like, I want the 6 minute kilometer, and everyone would have seen my like 7 and 8s and walking and thought, shit, what's happened? Like, is she okay? Yeah.
No, I think the added extra pressure of someone tracking is great because it's just, it gives you that little fire in your belly.
Yeah.
It's good.
I don't know if I see it. What are you laughing at?
I don't know, because you just give me one word answer to it. Great podcast host.
Okay.
I'm joking. I'm slamming myself. Cart.
Right, we've got 15 minutes.
Yeah. Oh dear.
What are you talking about?
Another thing that people were theorizing about Harry Styles as to why he hid his name was they didn't want the app to crash. They thought, because he has so many fans in, you know, America, Asia, people that wouldn't actually give a shit about the race, that wouldn't usually go onto the app. Obviously,
yeah, that's so
when
true.
You build an app, you have to kind
app.
Of, but you have to sort of think about the amount of traffic it's going to have and build that into the code and all that sort of shit. I assume anyway, if let's say 1 million people were going onto the tracker at one time because it got put on a One Direction fan page. Harry Styles is running Berlin. Here's his tracking. Boom. They all go onto it.
No one can track their friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's pretty
that
mad.
Could be the case.
Hugo had a shit after him.
Yeah. Didn't he make it into the newspaper?
He got into the Times.
Yeah.
Having a poo after Harry Styles. He
saw his video.
He said he saw a bloke in front of him that was massive. And he was like, who's this bloke? And then Harry Styles comes out the portaloo and the bodyguard follows him.
Oh, bodyguard.
Lost his bodyguard, yeah.
So that was post-run.
Before.
Didn't run. Oh, before running.
It was waiting area and stuff.
Got you.
I think the really speedy people, like they were all in the pen bit together. Because you all go off at the gun. If you're running sub 3, you're going off with the gun.
Sick.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's enough Harry Styles chat.
Yeah.
I know you're enthralled by Harry Styles conversations. You know, it's actually quite funny though, because like you're just so unparasocial. It's crazy.
Yeah. I've never really, just not for
like me. You're so, like, you don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Apart from, you like a Molly May vlog, but you're not parasocial with her.
Yeah. I'll watch them every now and then if I've got nothing else going on.
Yeah.
But I've never, like, even before I had my page, I've never really been someone that's followed creators or vloggers or YouTubers or celebrities.
Do you think someone that does follow that too much is it a hindrance or is it benefit?
I honestly just don't think it, like, I guess it's personality types and what you're interested in. I don't know. I don't know why I have never been interested in that, and I don't know why some people have been interested in it. I don't know.
My sister used to be a super fan of the Vamps.
Yeah.
She was actually like famous on Vamps fandom Twitter.
Was she?
My sister had tons of followers on Twitter for just posting pictures of Brad.
Well, my friend, one of my best friends, I think she was saved on my phone as Kate Bieber still until recently when I changed it. But she was a massive, I think she
Belieber.
Probably was a famous Belieber, maybe on Twitter. I think she had loads of Twitter followers back when it was called Twitter.
Yeah, but I did see something crazy, man. I saw this. So one of my good friends, from my old work, Matt, he produces Batch and Arthur's pod. And recently they've gone on tour and they pulled Matt onto stage. And Matt's a good looking lad. He's a short king, but very good looking lad.
Short king?
He is a short king. He owns it. He's a short king. But he's very good looking.
What makes you a short king? What height?
Well, Matt's like, I think Matt's like 5'8".
Okay. And that's
I don't
short
know.
King level.
I don't know. He might be shorter than that. No, Matt is definitely probably shorter
taller
than
Matt. Than me.
Yeah. Probably not by much, actually, though.
Really?
You're like 5'5"? 5'3"?
Yeah, 5'4".
Yeah, he's probably 5'5", 5'6", I think, maybe. Sorry, Matt, if that's wrong. I think you've probably got more important things to do than listen to my podcast. Anyway, Matt basically got pulled on stage by Batch and Arthur for this game. Someone made like a slow-mo edit of him like shaking his mullet and like all this sort of stuff and saying, came for Batch and Arthur, left, like, or something, came for Batch and Arthur, but stayed for producer Matt or something along those lines. And it's actually just crazy how like much people are locked in to the fan life. It's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, not for me.
Not for you though. No. So it is.
Actually, if I was to fangirl over anyone, it would be Rex Orange County. Every year on Spotify Wrapped,
apart
I was
from that,
always in his 0.4%. I was like in his top 0.4% of listeners.
Apart from that one year where things went up in the air.
Yeah, I threw every. I had
you
like
did.
A vinyl. I had a vinyl.
Make that
I had
clear.
Some artwork of him. Threw it all in trash.
We had this really sick bit of artwork in our hallway of Rex Orange County. Then all of that stuff basically came out. And you were literally just like straight
away. I was like, no, like hid all his like music was like absolutely not. But then it all came out that it was like
false act.
False. And there was proof that it was false. And we went to see him live this year.
That was so sick.
It was so
sick. So good.
Yeah.
I hate it when I go to concerts though, and you love them, but I like also equally love them, but I don't know the
don't
songs
know
the same level.
I was like singing along and whatever.
Every
and Cal,
word.
And Cal was just like stood there like, you know that emoji of just the person.
Yeah, because I was like,
was
I never know what to do with my hands at gigs. Do you know what I mean?
Wave them in the air.
No. I need a drink. Sometimes I'll hold on to an empty pint glass for like 20
minutes.
Just
so you've got something to...
Yeah, because you can have like, I don't know if you'll be able to see here, but like you can have your hand in your pocket of one hand and a pint glass. Do you know what I mean? Especially because his songs are slow as well, a lot of them.
Some of them.
Yeah. Anyway. What's next then, Izzy? Apart from the challenge, what's your hopes and goals for the next year?
The next year?
Yeah,
God,
fuck
that's...
it.
We've obviously got my big challenge. May or may not be running another marathon this year. Who knows? And then next year, it's a focus more on shorter distances. We are getting married next year.
Oh, are we? Yeah.
Yeah, in June. Yeah. So there is no plans for any sort of long distance or hard training until after the wedding.
I probably will do a spring marathon, but that's just because I actually just love training.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. I also enjoy training, but I want to be doing different types of training.
It's different
like,
though.
I miss Pilates.
Yeah.
So I want to get back into that next year and like, yeah, focus on my shorter distance. I may do half.
I think the difference between you and I is like you enjoy other activities. I don't really enjoy anything physical apart from running now.
Yeah.
Like even during my triathlon, I, as much as I loved getting back in the pool, I will start swimming a bit more again. But I was just like, when I started training for Chicago, I was like, oh, I'd love this.
Yeah.
That is so great just focusing on running.
Oh, I also have High Rocks in December.
Oh,
I've
nice.
Got,
yeah.
I've got a busy end of year,
yeah.
To be honest. But
someone
yeah,
want to get
High
me
Rocks.
A bib because I want to do a High Rocks.
Yeah, I've got High Rocks doubles with my friend Ellie. And I'm really excited because last time I did High Rocks, it was mixed doubles.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like women's pro weights.
Yeah, yeah.
It was heavy because I had to do the men's weights, which is the equivalent
of
women's
pros. Yeah, you do the men's
pros,
open weights.
So it was really hard. So I'm quite excited to actually just do like women's standard weights with my friend. I think it'll be really fun. So yeah, I'm really excited for that.
Very cool.
And then the last 3 weeks of December, I'm just going to be horizontal. I'm not going to be doing anything.
Yeah. God, last December
I'm so
I did that.
So excited.
That fucking challenge, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah. Running that calendar.
That was great because it was
month.
Like a really cool thing to do. But also like, I just think back and I drank once in December last year.
What, on Christmas?
Like before, during the challenge.
Oh, just during the
and
challenge.
And I did 8K hanging out my ass.
I remember
I don't
that
drink
one
much,
really
but December
over, yeah.
is a fun time. Like
yeah.
you want to enjoy yourself.
And also your evenings were editing your videos of you running as well. So there wasn't really many Christmas
but
plans.
That's the
either.
Grind, man. That's the grind.
Yeah.
And I found out I got a couple brand deals off that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Congrats.
Because I asked brands like, what content of mine have you seen that like whatever? And they said, oh, we loved your December series.
Gorge.
Yeah.
There we go.
Iz, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
So excited for the challenge next week.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's wicked. Thanks so much for listening, watching, wherever you get your podcasts, whatever you do each week with this pod. So yeah, it's cool. Thanks everyone for supporting. I'm really enjoying it. It's great to do this. And yeah, I appreciate everyone's support on the podcast because yeah, it means the world to me. Iz, thanks so much for coming on. Absolute pleasure being able to chat with you once again. Not like I do it every day, but yeah, if you enjoyed it, obviously go give Izzy a follow. Subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can stay ready for that big documentary of the journey. And yeah, donate. I'll leave the donation link
yes,
as well.
Yes, please donate. I've already raised £500, which is incredible.
From one evening. That's amazing.
It's been less than 24 hours since I announced it. So hopefully we can keep it going and raise loads of money. So yeah.
Very exciting. Look, catch you guys next week. Take care.